Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text number 32, again, because we didn't finish discussing the purport yesterday. So, let me read the verse again. Bhisma Deva said, "Let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys material pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him only the material world is created." Huh? He enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending on the material world, although from him only the material world is created. Although from him only the material world is created. Okay, and purport. Well, we covered... Okay, let me read the whole purport again. "Because Bhisma Deva was a statement, the head of the Kuru dynasty, a great general and a leader of Kshatriyas, his mind was strewn, that means spread out, over so many subjects, and his thinking, feeling, and willing were engaged in different matters. Now, in order to achieve pure devotional service, he wanted to invest all his powers of thinking, feeling, and willing entirely in the Supreme Being." So, this should be noted by us that as long as we're engaged in material activities, our attention is strewn or divided or spread out in many different directions. However, to be fully Krishna conscious, we need to, or to achieve pure devotional service, we need to invest all our powers of thinking, feeling, and willing entirely on the Supreme Being, or entirely on Krishna. So, that is called the art of work, which is explained in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Sri Krishna, by which, through advice from bona fide and experienced devotees, every action you perform is directed toward pleasing Krishna. And every thought, thinking, feeling, and willing, which are the requisite steps, psychological steps before one acts, must be always in terms of the shastric evidence and rules and regulations, so that our action is directed toward pleasing Krishna. Okay, so Lord, he is described herein as the leader of the devotees and all-powerful, so that's Bhisma Deva. Although Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, he himself descends on earth to bestow upon his pure devotees the boon of devotional service. He descends sometimes as Lord Krishna, as he is, and sometimes as Lord Chaitanya. Both are leaders of the pure devotees. Pure devotees of the Lord have no desire other than the service of the Lord, and therefore they are called sattvata. The Lord is the chief amongst such sattvatas. Bhisma Deva, therefore, had no other desires. Unless one is purified of all sorts of material desires, the Lord does not become one's leader. Yeah, because we... this is explained in Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter, 24th verse, where it says, "Tasmat chastram pramanam cha karya karya vivastito kyatva shastra vidanoktam karma kartum iharhasi." One should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. Now, this is a very important verse in Bhagavad Gita. It's in the 16th chapter, which explains divine and demoniac qualities. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains how one becomes a pure devotee, and he also explains how one becomes a nonsense demon. He explains both processes in the purport. So he says, as stated in the 15th chapter, all rules and regulations of the Vedas are meant for knowing Krishna. If one understands Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita and becomes situated in Krishna consciousness, engaging himself in devotional service, he has reached the highest perfection of knowledge offered by the Vedic literature. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this process very easy. He asked people simply to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and to engage in the devotional service of the Lord and eat the remnants of foodstuff offered to the deity. That doesn't sound hard at all, does it? It sounds pretty easy, pretty basic, right? One who is directly engaged in all these devotional activities is to be understood as having studied all the Vedic literatures. Yeah, you know, some people think, oh, I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I have to study this, I have to learn Sanskrit, and I have to do this, I have to stand on my head and breathe through the right nostril, then through the left nostril, you know. That's a bunch of nonsense. You don't have to do all those things. You simply have to chant Hare Krishna, engage all the time in devotional service, or at least know how to direct every one of your activities toward pleasing Krishna, which is called the art of work, and eat Mahaprasadam. Anybody can do that, right? It's not difficult. One who is directly engaged in all these devotional activities is to be understood as having studied all the Vedic literature. He has come to the conclusion perfectly. Yeah, chant Hare Krishna, eat prasadam, dance, and engage in Krishna service. Of course, for the ordinary persons who are not in Krishna consciousness or who are not engaged in devotional service, what is to be done and what is not to be done must be decided by the injunctions of the Vedas. One should act accordingly, without argument. That is called following the principles of Shastra. Shastra comes from the Vedic word Shastatu. So, Shastatu is a type of, let's call it a obligation that you cannot avoid. And this idea of Shastra is like, there's a scolding stick, right? And the Shastra will, in a sense, beat you into submission, right? Or it should be like that. So instead of fighting the Shastra, one should surrender, right? And that's why he says, one should act accordingly, according to the Vedic injunctions, without argument. That is called following the principles of Shastra or scripture. Shastra is without the four principal defects that are visible in the conditioned soul, imperfect senses, the propensity for cheating, certainty of committing mistakes. He says certainty, that means definitely we're going to make mistakes. And the propensity for cheating, certainty of committing mistakes, and certainty of being illusioned. We're living in the world of illusion. Everything is illusory in the material world. Right? These four principal defects in conditioned life disqualify one from putting forth rules and regulations. Therefore, the rules and regulations as described in the Shastra, being above these defects, are accepted without alteration by all great saints, acharyas, and great souls. So when I was in Berkeley, there was this one pujari. He was a nice person. He's not a bad person. He's a nice person. But sometimes he wouldn't come for his service. And it would happen, you know, monthly. And so one day we asked him, so how come you don't come for your service? He said, well, you know, I have some rules and regulations that I follow. I said, okay. What rules and regulations are that? He said, well, whenever I have illicit sex, I don't come 3 days to the temple. So, you see, that's exactly what Prabhupada's saying here, right? These four principal defects in conditioned life disqualify one from putting forth rules and regulations. Therefore, the rules and regulations, as described in the Shastra, being above these defects, are accepted without alteration by all great saints, acharyas, and great souls. So he made some rule and regulation for himself, you understand? Rather than following the rules and regulations of the Shastra, he's making his own rules and regulations, right? So this is, you know, the type of nonsense that goes on, unfortunately. And so someone might say, well, wait a minute, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? No, it's not reasonable, engaging in illicit sex, right? That's not reasonable. So these rules and regulations are things that we should follow, right? We don't make up other rules and regulations because we don't follow them. So in India, there are many parties. And there was another one in Berkeley. He was another pujari, an experienced pujari. And one day we got a phone call in the temple. We said, we have to go down to the police station in Berkeley to talk to the police. So I said, what's the occasion? I said, did we do something wrong? I said, no, not you, but one of your people is here. He was arrested. So I go down to the station, and there's the pujari. He's under arrest, you know. And I say, well, what do you want me to do here? You know, why'd you ask me to come in? Well, he says, you're the leader of the temple. I said, yeah, that's true. I'm the leader of the temple. But what do you want me down here for? Well, we'll let you talk to him. I said, okay. So I talked to him, you know, and I said, what happened? He said, oh, nothing happened. I said, nothing happened? Well, how come you're here? How come they called me? He said, oh, I don't know. I said, you don't know? He said, they told me you were going to tell me. He said, no, I didn't do anything wrong. So I go back and talk to the police. I said, why is he here? He said, well, he was arrested. I said, but what for what? So he was having sex with some woman in a car. So I said, well, what do you want me to do? Well, if you... we can let him out on your reconnaissance. You're gonna watch him, you know, and he has to come back for a hearing. I said, okay. I said, but what if he walks away? So then you have to inform us. I said, okay. So he comes out, and on the way back, I'm talking to him. I said, you know, they said you're having sex in a car with a woman. He said, oh, no, I know how to chant Hare Krishna. I said, wait a minute, what does that have to... I just asked you a question. Were you doing that? He said, yeah, but I know how to chant Hare Krishna. I said, what does that have to do with the question I just asked you? He said, I know how to chant Hare Krishna. Whenever I do something wrong, I chant Hare Krishna. I said, that is exactly the seventh offense against the holy name. To commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting Hare Krishna. So then he remained silent after that, right? This is the nonsense that goes on. You know. So We cannot make our own rules and regulations. We have to follow the rules and regulations of the Shastra. That's why they call Berkeley Berserkly. There's a lot of crazy people there, you know. And some of them joined the movement. Or a bunch of them joined the movement at a certain time. Anyway, that's another story. So, these four principal defects in conditioned life disqualify one from putting forth rules and regulations. Therefore, the rules and regulations are described in the Shastra, being above these defects, are accepted without alteration by all great saints, acharyas, and great souls. There it is, without alteration. In India, there are many parties of spiritual understanding, generally classified as two, the impersonalist and the personalist. Both of them, however, lead their lives according to the principles of the Vedas. Yeah, the impersonalists also follow rules, like we do. Sometimes they're even stricter than we are, right? Therefore, the rules and regulations as described in the Shastra, being above these defects, are accepted without alteration by all great saints, acharyas, and great souls. So, if there's an impersonalist, even if he's a Mayavadi impersonalist, you know, we said there are bona fide impersonalists, and then there's the Mayavadis who are not completely bona fide. But they still follow rules. Therefore, they're considered, they follow the Vedic Shastric rules. Therefore, they're considered transcendentalists. Right? But, of course, the Mayavadis commit many offenses. So, they don't really reach the goal of going back to Krishna. They might for some time merge into the Brahma Jyoti, but they will fall down. So it says here, one who actually therefore understands the without following the principles of the scriptures, one cannot elevate himself to the perfectional stage. One who actually therefore understands the purport of the Shastras is considered fortunate. Now, in human society, aversion to the principles of understanding the Supreme Personality Godhead is the cause of all fall downs. That is the greatest offense of human life. Therefore, Maya, the material energy of the Supreme Personality Godhead, is always giving us trouble in the shape of the threefold miseries. This material energy is constituted of the three modes of material nature. One has to raise himself at least to the mode of goodness before the path to understanding the Supreme Lord can be opened. See, now this is the fault of modern education. They don't understand this, that you cannot really learn anything unless you're situated in the mode of goodness. If you're situated in the mode of passion and ignorance, which is what is the culture of universities and high schools and middle schools and so forth and elementary schools and even kindergarten. It's impossible for such kids to learn real knowledge. They can learn nonsense, but to learn real knowledge, you have to be in the mode of goodness at least. And that's not good enough, but it's the first step to learning. See, everyone has this pedagogic system. Pedagogy means how you teach people to learn something, right? Well, their pedagogy doesn't include raising people up to the mode of goodness. Right? And the proof is the lunchroom. In the lunchroom, everyone's in the mode of ignorance, eating meat. Right? It's part of the diet, right? Now, an individual kid is not obliged to eat meat, but meat is on the menu. It's on the triangle, the food triangle, if you ever look at that, or food pyramid, right? The food pyramid, there's always meat. The United States government recommends it. Therefore, it's part of the lunchroom diet. Right? So, obviously, they keep the kids in a mode of ignorance, and they don't really learn anything of substantive value for their life. They learn how to maybe get a job, but not how to save themselves from the cycle of birth and death. So, it says, that is the greatest offense of human life, that is, aversion, or let's say, refusing the principles of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's the cause of fall downs. That is the greatest offense of human life. Therefore, Maya, the material energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always giving us trouble in the shape of the threefold miseries. This material energy is constituted of three modes of material nature. One has to raise himself at least to the mode of goodness before the path to understanding the Supreme Lord can be opened. Without raising oneself to the standard of the mode of goodness, one remains in ignorance and passion, which are the cause of demoniac life. Those in the modes of passion and ignorance deride the scriptures, deride the holy man, and deride the proper understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They disobey the instructions of the spiritual master, and they do not care for the regulations of the scriptures. In spite of hearing the glories of devotional service, they are not attracted. Thus, they manufacture their own way of elevation. These are some of the defects of human society which lead to the demoniac status of life. If, however, one is able to be guided by a proper and bona fide spiritual master who can lead one to the path of elevation, to the higher stage, then one's life becomes successful. There you are. This is a very important purport by Prabhupada. And Bhismadbhitama is saying virtually the same thing. He says, desires cannot be wiped out, but they have to be purified. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself that he gives his instruction from within the heart of a pure devotee who is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. So you don't get Krishna's instruction by dissecting a frog in the biology class, you see. This is what they're teaching kids, you know, dissect a frog. What do you learn when you dissect a frog? You don't learn anything, really. You know, you just learn, you know, he's got legs and he's got a heart or whatever, but that there's no substantive knowledge. See? Such instruction is given not for any material purpose, but only for going back home, back to Godhead. You know, what Krishna reveals from the heart is knowledge by which you can return back to Godhead. For the ordinary man who wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord not only sanctions and becomes a witness of activities, but he never gives the non-devotee instructions for going back to Godhead. That is a powerful statement Prabhupada is making. And it's true. Krishna will permit people to commit sins if they focus on it all the time, thinking about it, reading about it, seeing it, hearing about it. So eventually he said, okay, I throw my hands up. That's what you want to do. I'll help you do it. Just like some Indian woman was speaking to one of the devotees and explaining to her how she gives her daughter, teenage daughter is going to high school here, condoms. Why is she doing that? Because she knows that she's engaging in illicit sex and she doesn't want her to get pregnant. And this is nonsense. This is going on right here in Sammamish. It's complete nonsense. So, but, you know, they feel as if, well, we can't. And then there a lot of Indians, they let their kids eat meat. Why? Because all the other kids are eating meat, and if they don't eat meat, they'll be, you know, ostracized socially. And all these things are unfortunate, and it's not only going on here. Just like one boy whose family moved back to India, who were devotees in this temple, and then they came back, and then I was talking to him one day, and I said, how was it in the school in India? So I went to a Vaishnava school. I said, really? Oh, that's good, you know. He said, no, it's not that good. I said, what? What do you mean, what's not that good? So all the kids eat meat. I said, really? He said, yeah, and they were trying to convince me to eat meat. There you are, you see. It's not that India, in some ways, may be better in some places, but in most places, not any better, right? Okay, so now it says, for the ordinary man who wants to lord it over material nature, the Lord not only sanctions, that means permits, and becomes a witness of the activities, but he never gives the non-devotee instructions for going back to Godhead. That is the difference in dealings by the Lord with different living beings, both the devotee and the non-devotee. He is leader of all living beings, as the king of the state rules both the prisoners and the free citizens. But his dealings are different in terms of devotee and non-devotee. Non-devotees never care to take any instruction from the Lord. That's the definition of non-devotee. They don't take instructions from the Lord. They don't take instructions from the acharyas. And therefore, the Lord is silent in their case, although he witnesses all their activities and awards them necessary results, good or bad. The devotees are above this material goodness and badness. They are progressive on the path of transcendence, and therefore they have no desire for anything material. The devotee also knows Sri Krishna as the original Narayana, because Lord Sri Krishna, by his plenary portion, appears as Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, the original source of all material creation. The Lord also desires the association of his pure devotees, and for them only the Lord descends on the earth and enlivens them. The Lord appears out of his own will. He is not forced by the conditions of material nature. He is therefore described here as the Vibhu, or the Almighty, for he is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. There you are. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hari Bol. Srimad Bhagavatam Granthraj ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,